You're listening to Green Iron Spotlight, episode 45. Welcome to the Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast. Today we have Tony Bedard, writer of Rebels, The Great Ten, and the recently announced writer for the Green Lantern Corps. Tony?
Oh, hey, how's it going?
Doing okay.
All right.
Well, I'll start it off with just asking a basic question. Pretty much for those who don't know who you are, and that's pretty hard to come by, can you please explain what do you do as a writer?
Well, I get to write... Right now, I guess about three different series a month, and it's a terrific job. It's a script for 22 pages of a story, and I get to tell the tales now of the Green Lantern Corps, and I'm also already doing the Rebels series and the Great Ten, which is a 10-issue limited series.
No, that's great. Seeing that the fact that between Rebels right now and the Green Lantern Corps, you pretty much do have your hands on a good, decent amount of books, in DC right now.
Yeah.
What compels you to these space-focused stories featuring these alien teams across the universe?
I've always liked science fiction, and I used to like reading a lot of science fiction back when I was younger, and things like Star Trek, Star Wars. I saw when I was 10, I think that came out, and I was never the same after that, and so I always liked stories like that. There's a few different things that I'm kind of drawn to, but it seems like with Negation across Gen, and in fact, I started off at Valiant doing Magnus Robot Fighter, which was another futuristic one.
Yeah.
So something about those type of stories, always spoke to me. I always liked the Legion of Superheroes and, things like that.
Wow, that's great. I've always been a big Legion fan. I did like your run during Supergirl and the Legion of Superheroes.
Oh, thanks.
One of the things I wanted to ask you was also the fact that there was talks of a second feature happening in the Green Lantern books. Do you know anything about it, seeing that now it seems like Guy Gardner's getting his own book?
My understanding is that Pete Tomasi is actually moving off of Green Lantern, of course, so that he can launch this new Green Lantern book that's going to be called Emerald Warriors. And it's Guy Gardner, Kilowog, and I think there's a few other characters that Pete's going to focus on. I think that he and I are both going to try and focus on about five characters, and you'll see a lot of other, Green Lanterns walk through and everything, but I think anything beyond that focus and you start to really lose it. So, it's funny, when they called me to offer the Green Lantern Corps job, the first thing I asked them, I was really confused that they were even offering it to me because Pete's been doing such a great job with it. I was like, what about Pete? And then they said that he was launching this new book, and suddenly it made a lot more sense.
Right. Well, but there was also the fact that, how most of these DC books now have, second featurettes inside of them. Is that still actually going to happen in the Green Lantern book, or has that been foregoed?
I don't know. They haven't said anything about it to me. It's funny, I think that the closer you get to some of these core books, like Green Lantern's one now, but obviously any, Batman book or Superman book, sometimes the less of the big picture you're on top of, on something like Rebels or Great Ten, I pretty much know everything that's happening with those books and have a lot more, direct control, I guess. But there's so many moving parts over at the company that, I don't, for example, the covers. Sometimes I get to see the covers before they're solicited, but a lot of times I just happen to see them, online. It's not that we don't discuss what's going to be on there, but, it's not any big surprise that I don't know if they're going to do a backup or not.
All right. Well, thanks for answering my questions. I'm gonna pass it on to Andrew right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Tony, it's a big pleasure to have you back. And on behalf of the GreenLanternCorps.com, a big congratulations on your move over to the Green Lantern Corps. It's awesome.
Thanks. It's not only a dream assignment, because I swear I always wanted to write Green Lantern or at least use the characters in some ongoing way. And it wasn't any particular version of Green Lantern. I just always liked the general concept of it. And also, this is like the biggest gig of my career. I'm really excited about it.
I think it's fantastic. I think looking around at the rest of the creative minds around the DCU, I think you're not only the logical choice to fill Tomasi's boots, but just the best damn choice out there. Just speaking broadly now, obviously without giving away spoilerific information or anything like that, what can you tell us about your vision for the Green Lantern Corps over the next year or so, perhaps years to come, and how is it going to differ from the runs of, say, Peter and Dave, and how closely will you be following the groundwork that Peter has been setting up, and just things like, off the top of my head, like, for example, Mongul shooting his fear pods across the galaxy seems like that was setting something up, but can't really say where it's gone, but just things like that.
Obviously I'm going to honor everything that Pete and Jeff over in Green Lantern have been doing, and they have set such a great path right now. I really enjoy the book as a reader, so I want to go in that direction, generally speaking, and sync up with the tone of what they're doing. But also, I feel like the three books, once they get Emerald Warriors up, should each have their own voice, It shouldn't feel like they're reading the same damn thing week after week, or, a couple of guys trying to copy Jeff or something like that, We should each have our own, angle. And I have a feeling that Pete's is going to be a lot like his Green Lantern Corps has been, really hardcore, action-oriented, a war book feel to it, is what I always felt like, reading his stuff, because he does really well with combat-type stuff.
Absolutely.
And then Jeff, has got Hal, which is a thing unto itself in the Green Lantern, mythos. So what I'd like to do is play up a little more of the sort of police force aspect of the Green Lantern Corps, and also the grandeur of it. It's such a great honor. It'd be the greatest honor possible, I think, to be selected to be that guy for your sector of space. And I always wanted to sort of feel that awe and reverence and the sense of history and tradition that the Corps would have. This is a really deep thing, and with a lot of history to it, and it should always feel like it's very important. That the Green Lantern Corps and to be a Green Lantern. So there's that. Also, I get to focus on Kyle, John Stewart, and Ganthet. And Ganthet is going to be Green Lantern on an ongoing basis. And so, excuse me. So we get to kind of see an awakening of emotions in Ganthet, that kind of a character development that's always been in him more than any other Guardian, but I think we're going to take that even further and explore that. And there are three characters that I really like. Like I said, it wasn't ever that I was so stuck on Hal or Guy or whatever. It was just the basic concept of Green Lanternness that I really dug.
You mentioned Ganthet. That was actually my next question. If we can talk about Ganthet just a little bit. As a Green Lantern and now a member of your new GLC lineup, obviously this isn't a can of worms that you yourself opened up, but there's still so much I think we're all curious about. Why does he need a ring to tap into the green now, when Guardians have always been shown to kind of be able to dish it out without the rings? And you already described a little bit of his role in the GLC a little bit, but is he kind of going to be more like a cerebral sort of Kilowog, sort of like a heavy weapons drill sergeant without the drill sergeant, that kind of a thing?
Well, I tend to view him more as the oldest rookie in the universe, in a way. Of course he has the immense experience, and longevity and all these things that he's always had. But he kind of takes a step down from guardianhood, in terms of his power level and how he, wields the green power. And it's really more of a journey, I think, for him to try and and be more like we are, you know, that there's something to the emotions that we have. And, you know, and you know, he had feelings for you know, it's funny, I call her Saeed, but I've been told that it should be Saeed.
Saeed.
I'm never quite sure. Yeah, Saeed. But in any case, that's another thing to explore with him, is his relationship with her, and you know, it's like an awakening humanity, basically, in this guy.
Very interesting. Okay, I've always been, and I'm just speaking in terms of Volume 3 of GL, a big fan of the chemistry shown between John and Kyle. In fact, mm-hmm. until Tomasi really developed Guy and Kyle's friendship, I found their chemistry more fun between John and Kyle back in the day. Like, you know, Kyle would frequently seek John out for advice. They'd do the thing at Warriors where they'd get together with Alan and shoot the shit.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse my language. And even going clubbing with him and their girlfriends at the time. Can you describe what we can expect to see of the kind of camaraderie between them when they're not just blasting the bad guys?
Well, you know, it seems to me that especially John's character and how he's portrayed has you know,
buried.
Been evolving yeah. recently, especially with this whole shift of focus to the, you know, this Marine background and,
yeah.
and you know, because for a long time it was pretty much just that he was an architect. And then I think this revelation that he was also a Marine
yeah, also.
Came along. And so my view of him is as being a little more, gosh, I'm not sure how to put it, but a little more stoic, perhaps, a little more intense and inwardly turned than I think Kyle's more of a gregarious and smiling and just, you know, a good time guy. And that with John, it's more like, you know, still waters run deep, you know, and I think that the whole thing they've set up between the architect side of him, you know, and like yeah. a builder, and the Marine side of him, a destroyer,
creates,
you know.
Creates a good dichotomy there.
Right. It's something to work with. And I think, you know, especially at moments of crisis, which way, you know, which side of him is going to, you know, assert itself, you know, that sort of thing. You could really have some really cool moments with him. I kind of feel also that, for the most part, you know, he's easily the least developed of the you know, or least defined of the Green
yeah.
Lanterns from Earth. And
totally
and so
agree.
That's something I'd like to see, you know, I'd like to address, basically, you know, and get a little more feel for him. And I'm not saying that the guy's a pill or anything like that. I think he can be fun. And you know, I remember him in the Green Lantern Corps book, you know, from back in the day that Joe Staten used to draw.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
Steve Englehart writing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and back when Cap Matui was still alive and the two of them interacting, you know, he was a lot more of a lighter character. But even there, you know, it kind of makes sense, you know, that he lost her, you know, she was brutally murdered. You know, that could be, you know, a source for some, I don't know, inner turmoil. Anyways, you know, I don't know if it'll wind up being your Jon Stewart, you know, as you, you know, have felt the character ought to be. But I do want to get more out of him than there's been.
I feel like there's no definitive Jon Stewart yet. I mean, I feel like they need to kind of do like a Jon Stewart Year One or Secret Origin, just with all the
mm-hmm.
different layers they've added. But be that as it may, with him
yeah.
in your stable now, got to ask you about Mosaic, the Jon Stewart series. Big fan of those days. As far as you're concerned, is Jon, if briefly, a former Guardian? And to what degree will his past come to the forefront now? And what aspects of it intrigue you as a writer? More so the architect, more so the cerebral thinking man's Mosaic era, the newly added Marine story, and more importantly, maybe, are you finally going to get that guy laid again? It's been like over a decade.
Oh, my God.
That girl left him.
Oh, now I am. Now that you said that, you know, yeah, okay, I'm on a mission now.
He got
I hadn't really thought about that.
Yeah,
but,
his last play was like 12 years ago, and that lady, that blue skinned lady, just took off and left him.
Well, it looked like what is it? Fatality, you know, when she was
she's
been a Star Sapphire, and
I think there's a story there. I think there's
maybe
a story.
I got to talk to Jeff about that. I think, but
I think about like
you're
the,
right.
like the Star Wars Heir to the Empire thing. I don't know if you're familiar with that, with Mara Jade, where she wanted to kill Luke. But in the end, she kind of they developed feelings and they got married and it worked. It was an interesting dichotomy. I think with Fatality, something there could be something there.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. I got to make a note of that. Seriously. But but as far as which side I lean towards, I like that both are there. I never had my mind, you know, too made up about who that guy was before. So I kind of like that there's this, you know. Dichotomy.
Yeah.
You know. So he's kind of the focus of the first story arc I'm doing, in fact. It's going to be called the Revolt of the Alpha Lanterns. And so, you know, naturally, it has something to do with the Alpha Lanterns. But
cool.
John, right off the bat, is the main focus of the first issue I'm doing. And you know, he was sort of asked to join the Alpha Lanterns when they first put it together, and you know, thank God he put them down. But
Seemed like an insult at the time. It's like, okay, I was previously a Guardian. That's not really a promotion there. But,
Now you know the whole business of him having been a Guardian is that I don't know if that's really, you know, something they're taking into consideration right now, and I'm not sure if it's something that they even want to. Because, you know, with so much continuity that after, you know, over time, you kind of, you don't say that things didn't happen, but you just sort of don't, you know, do anything with them sometimes.
Right.
And it might be that falls under that category.
Yeah, suspected that. Well, all right, Tony. That's all the questions I've got for you. Thank you for your time.
I'll
pass it on to, I believe, Mew?
Colton. We're going next to Colton.
Excuse me.
It's a pleasure to be back, Tony. It was fun last time talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, there are just a few questions that I'd like to go through, if that's all right with you.
Sure.
Well, what I'm curious about is the specific dynamic between John, Kyle, and Gambit. I mean, specifically as, like, the three characters, how will they specifically interact with each other? Like, because it used to be Gambit was the boss, and then there was Kyle was in the Honor Guard, and then John was just the Sacred Lantern, and now all three of them are in pretty much the same position.
Yeah. Well, I think that we're going to wind up having them and a couple of others be the Honor Guard or Honor Lanterns by the time we finish with the first or second story arc. You know, I haven't quite nailed down exactly how that's, you know, going to happen just yet, but I'm getting to that. And but still, you know, your basic point about them all being on the same level is true, and you know, I tend to see them all as friends. Gambit is kind of the weirdest one, you know, because he's, you know, like I was saying earlier, it's like there's a humanity awakening in him and an exploration of, you know, aspects of his personality that were always suppressed as a Guardian, and so that's kind of a cool thing to work with, you know, a maturation sort of in this guy who's already older than, you know, dirt. So I find that interesting about him. But other than that, he still has, you know, wisdom and knowledge that they don't have. And, you know, at the same time, I don't see him leading the charge, you know. It's not that kind of personality, really. And so that's kind of interesting, too. He's, but in any case, Kyle and John, I see as just, you know, as close friends, two guys that have a different vibe to them, but that, you know, complement each other. And then, you know, as well as those three, we're also going to have Sorinik Natu as part of our central cast, because she and Kyle have a thing going, and I think she's very interesting in her own right. And we'll also see Hanu, that big rocky Green Lantern who doesn't like to use his ring. Is also going to be part of our central cast.
Really? That's quite a cast you've got going there. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, it ought to be fun. There'll be one more, but I don't want to say who it is just yet because it's actually a plot point that I don't want to reveal, you know?
And one thing that I didn't really think about too fully until just now, but I realized that with John becoming an Honor Guard Lantern, Hal doesn't have a sector partner anymore. Will you address that or will that be something John's will address?
You know, that's something that we need to figure out. I don't see coming up with yet another, 2814 Lantern, or certainly not another one from Earth. But I gotta think through the implications on that.
Maybe new Krypton?
I'm still waiting to find out what the outcome is going to be on that. You know, how long the Krypton will be around, or if it will be around, you know, forever. I'm not sure. So we'll see. But that's one to talk through with Jeff, because he's, as much fun as we're all having, Jeff is definitely the big kahuna on this. And I'd have to talk through that one with him and see if he has some thoughts on it.
All right, well, we know you're going to be using some of the old lanterns that were used in the past runs, but I'm curious if there's any, like, new lanterns that you're going to create of your own that you might be able to maybe tease a little bit.
Well, we've been also talking about the Vegas sector, because Rebels takes place almost exclusively there, and it's kind of a happening place right now since they reopened it to the Green Lanterns and all that. So, you know, I think we need to work out who the Green Lanterns of the Vegas sector are, and that might be an opportunity to come up with a new one. And also, I was talking to the editors about introducing a new one in Green Lantern Corps, but to begin with, I wanted to just focus on our known characters and really, you know, set the tone for the thing instead of getting sidetracked by, you know, also introducing a new character.
All right, In a previous interview, you mentioned that once Vril Doss got his Legion back, they'd be in competition with the Green Lantern Corps. Will we see some of that occur this year, since he's finally getting it back in May?
Mostly in Rebels, there's a distinction I'd like to draw between the two organizations, because even though it seems like they do the same basic thing, you know, sort of space police, their approaches are so different, and there would be a little turf battling going on, mostly in Rebels. What I didn't want to do, though, is, you know, get onto the Green Lantern book and then, you know, do anything that might look like, here I am trying to prop up the other book, or, you know, conflate the two too early. So, you know, in the next 6 months in Rebels, you'll see some Green Lantern stuff, but nothing else really right off the bat.
Did you even know that you were going to be Green Lantern Corps writer when you said that, or did that not come out till later that you found out?
I think I knew at that point. I thought that it would make sense, and it was a storyline I wanted to pursue since before I knew I'd get to write the Corps. But I definitely started talking about it once I figured, oh, I'm actually going to be able to do this.
I was just wanting to finish up with your whole moving to Green Lantern Corps. I wanted to make sure if you intend to stay on Rebels more long term, or if this will.
Rebels is my baby, and there's not been any talk of, you know, canceling it or anything like that. I know that the sales figures on the thing, you know, might cause you to wonder, but it's been really well received in the offices. They really believe in it, and. And at the moment, I just turned in an outline through the end of the year. So, you know, I want to keep doing that book for sure. Vril Doss is way too much fun.
That's great news, because I'm a big fan, and I've just enjoyed the book constantly. And we've actually gotten a lot of new fans in the forums since your Blackest Night tie-in.
Yeah.
Cool.
This is the guy that indoctrinated me into the Rebels.
The Rebels fold.
After much effort, I sent him the first, I think, 7 or 8 issues.
This is how dedicated he is.
Well, you know, that Blackest Night tie-in really kind of, I think, got me this job on Green Lantern Corps. I had reached out to Jeff, you know, hoping to play along with the event, because it just seemed to make sense. You know, there's this big cosmic thing going on. It ought to affect Rebels, and I knew we'd get a sales bump out of it, too. And, you know, I mean, I wanted to get some readers. So it really worked out nicely, though. I was very happy with those issues and with Jeff. And, you know, it led to stuff that I think culminated in this assignment.
All right. Well, thank you for your time on my questions. I'd like to pass it along to Eric.
We'll move it to Eric now.
Hey, Tony, thanks again for putting yourself out like this. I want to say that I have been reading your stuff since I was like 11, and I think that's maybe when your first issue of Magnus Robot Fighter came out. One where the maladjusted, where the Malev went evil. Yeah, that was, or went good, I guess. That was pretty good. And I do want to say, just for my little 12-year-old heart, you broke my heart when you had Magnus start killing all the free wills about a year later. That was really upsetting.
I don't even remember that.
That's awesome. Well, yeah. Well, it traumatized me.
Was that bizarro, Tony? I don't know.
So, just, I mean, about this, I wanted to ask, how connected are the three series going to be? You said they each have their own identity, but I mean, I'm thinking, is it going to be more like the Superman titles, where each one has their own identity, but they're all leading towards one storyline, and they're kind of essential to one another? And
yeah,
or is it going to be more autonomous? Because some of the criticism of the GLC title has been that it's too closely following the GL title, and it's always seemed kind of like a second ran. How I know there was some disappointment that the Mongol storyline was resolved in Blackest Night and stuff like that.
Well, you know, Blackest Night was such a huge storyline that it's kind of unfair to judge what was going on during that year. You know, it's just, everything really worked towards that storyline, and because of that, I recognize that, the editors do, and we were talking about how first year of Green Lantern Corps, this next year anyhow, that we need to separate the books and give them time to breathe and do their own thing and, you know, be their own thing. Maybe something else will come up where it makes sense for everybody to be involved, and then you'll see them march in lockstep a little more, but don't want to make that the constant thing.
How much, I mean, I know that you're kind of walking into like this monstrous kind of continuity and like juggernaut that is the GL franchise at this point. How much control do you have over what's going to go on in the title? And I guess also specifically, how much of the cast did you get to pick? I mean, did they kind of give you a list of 10 Green Lanterns to pick from and you were allowed to focus on 3 or 4?
No, well, it was, when it was handed over to me, it was definitely, Kyle, John, and Gamfit. Then beyond that, it was up to me, and it just made sense, you know, that it should be Sornik, and we talked about, you know, getting a couple of wild cards in there, you know, like every team, you know, you look at the X-Men or something, you know, every team has its Wolverine or, you know, its hot-headed, you know, unpredictable guy, and it's, you know, just somebody to stir the pot, and we actually figured out two of them, Hanu's one of them, and then this other one, you know, just as... so that things don't ever settle into complacency. You know, there's always something going on.
How about, I know this might be a little spoiler. How about Yolande, or whoever, how do you pronounce her name? Sornik's partner. I know there's a lot of fandom around her. And do you know how to pronounce her name? I know you gave us some insight about Sade.
Well, this is the funny thing is I pronounce the names different than Pete does. And I'm pretty sure I'd pronounce them differently than Jeff does.
Gleason says Yolanda.
Yolanda, huh?
Which is weird.
I would have said Iolandi.
Yeah.
Iolandi, yeah.
For a good two months, I think we were going by Ioland or...
I would probably go Yolanda or Ioland.
What does Pete say?
Well, you know, he hadn't said that one, but he said, Pete says, Isamot call. I say Isamot call. You know, they say Boudica. I say Boudica. You know. I mean, it keeps on, they say Salak, I say Salak. Okay.
Yeah, it's just so you know, you're right, it's Salak and Boudica.
We agree with you.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, actually, I think I was wrong there. Is it Boudica? Because I say Boudica.
I've always heard Boudica. I mean, she's been around for 50 years, right? I always heard Boudica.
Well, you know, because there was the ancient warrior queen Boudica. Or at least that's how they usually say it on the History Channel or something.
Oh, the Irish, yeah.
You know, potato, potato, it doesn't matter. It's just a funny thing that happens. You know, luckily
you
comics have no sound. So.
Yeah, you're used to writing a series where the guy's name is Vril, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah. James Robinson says Vril, so.
Vril?
Okay, yeah.
Like, he's just trying to be different. I think he's just
Tony,
trying.
What's happening with Brian Dox? I'm like, oh, that sounds cool. I can't say it, though.
Yeah, he's trying too hard. Just don't worry about that. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess, something else, too. I mean, can you give us any word about where they're going with the other series. There's a lot of the impetus for stuff like Ember Warriors and GL. That's all going to be established post Blackest Night. You can't really talk about it.
Yeah, pretty much, because there's some real fundamental, shifts and kind of things that you won't expect, but will be ongoing stuff. So, I know some of the broad strokes, say, on Jeff's book, but I actually haven't seen, like, the game plan or the scripts or anything, so I'm waiting to be surprised by some of this stuff, too.
Nice. Well, how far ahead are you guys? I mean, I guess I don't know if they're allowed to talk about that either, but how far ahead are you guys in the planning stages for the next year?
Well, I've turned in, I think, an outline through October, and it's two basic storylines. One of them will have to do with Quard, the origins of Sinestro's ring and, some kind of neat stuff to go into. Nice. But with a brand new villain. And then the first story arc will feature an established villain that we haven't seen for a while, but, is a real heavyweight. So, that's as far as it's concretely planned out, but, I'm still getting used to being part of the team, to all of the characters, even though I was already a GLC fan. I mean, it's still a little daunting, once you actually have to write scripts about them and all of that. But there's new ideas bubbling up all the time, so.
Nice. And this is all leading into that big cannot be spoken of summer event from next year, I assume. A lot of the GLC stuff's going to that.
Well, I was thinking more of the resolution of Blackest Night and the Brightest Day thing, and and the aftermath of that. So,
all right. Well, excellent. Well, thanks a lot. I'm just gonna one more thing. Just please take care of Kyle because I love him so much.
And, okay.
I'll push it on to Kuhan.
All right.
So, we've been talking about Rebels for quite a while. How do you think your experiences writing Rebels will help you writing Green Lantern Corps, and et cetera?
I think it's helped quite a bit. I mean, it helped me get the job for starters, and I've kind of staked out a little area of space there with Rebels, and just trying to sort of pick up some of the scraps, basically, that weren't already part of the Green Lantern mix. So that made me very comfortable with the DCU, the cosmic side of things. I used to work as an editor at DC a few years back, and Secret Files was one of the books that I edited, and I am thankful every day that I had that assignment, because I had to learn so much minutia about all these different, obscure characters and places and stuff that, that tends to help. It's nice having both sides of it now, though, Rebels and Green Lantern Corps. It just kind of feels like all space is my playground now. my own Vegas sector has been opened. Oh, God. That's the geekiest thing I've ever said.
It's okay. You write comic books. You can't get much geekier.
We're all like Marines here.
All right. So between Rebels and the DLC, you have a lot of DC cosmic stories. So why what compels you to write these space focused stories with all these aliens from all across the universe?
Aside from just a general love of science fiction, there's just a comfort level with those kind of stories. It's always fun also to do new places. It's always a lot of times this stuff works like a Western, almost. But when they roll into the next town, you can really go hog wild and make a mechanical planet or a planet of, but one of my favorite issues of Rebels was the Gild Ishpan issue, with that, weird frozen, underwater, society of tube socks. the Gild Ishpan looked like giant tube socks, but somehow they just looked so cool at the same time. It's just fun to do stuff like that, It's the same thing, the reason why we like the cantina scene in Star Wars, And it's like, oh, wow, there's just so much new stuff to discover. I guess that's why I like Legion of Superheroes, too. The first time that I saw this whole flock of, you know, superheroes that I didn't know, it wasn't a turnoff. It wasn't like, oh, man, you know, I got to learn all this crap. It was like, who's that?
Right.
So.
And, all right. And I got to ask you, if you know this, what's the premise? What's going to happen in Emerald Warriors, if you know, whatever you can tell us?
In Emerald Warriors?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I actually am not even going to touch that. I was talking to Pete the other day about it. He's you know, he told me enough that I know he's got a direction and a, you know, and an angle on the whole thing. But, you know, we'll let that roll out as it does, and I wouldn't want to spoil a thing for him.
It was worth a try.
Yeah.
Worth the shot.
You know, beyond what I said as far as, you know, guys in it, Killmog's in it, of course, this is stuff you can read anywhere, so.
Hoping to get some exclusive.
Yeah, it's all right.
And,
now, Pete's a big guy, man. I wouldn't want to cross him.
On the DLC title, is Adrian going to be the long running artist, or is it maybe like an arc thing, or how do you think it's going to work?
Well, they'll make an announcement on the artist front fairly soon. I mean, I guess it's like Salak. I don't know if it's Airdian or Ardian. I'm guessing it's Ardian. Although his work looks really nice, so you know, however you pronounce it, I'm fine. Anyhow, he's definitely doing the opening story arc, and then I believe they'll have an announcement to make about the art situation beyond that.
Some more. Wait till they tell you.
Daryl Banks.
No, I mean, I actually know who it is, but also having worked as an editor, I already know that's the easiest way to piss off the, you know, the folks in marketing and promotions and, you know. I don't need the heartburn, so I'll let them roll it out.
All right, and finally, real quick, is Andy Clark going to be back on Rebels after Batman and Robin?
Oh, God, I hope and pray, but I also am realistic about it, that, you know, coming off of that, I'm sure he will have many other opportunities. But, you know, I'm gonna try and woo him back. We'll see. I had a lot of fun working with him, and he, you know, it was a good relationship. I'm sure he'd like to work together again, but, you know, if it winds up being like, you know, you have to choose between that or, you know, Batman, you know, or Superman, you know what I'm saying?
I
don't know what they would dangle in front of him.
Maybe they'll give him, maybe they'll give him Core and you'll work together again.
Oh, that would be great. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So I have two notes now.
Yeah, ask them really nicely.
Get John laid. And,
yeah, get yes. John laid and get Andy back. All right.
All right.
And take care of Kyle. Don't forget.
Take care of Kyle.
Please.
I like Kyle quite a bit. He was the Green Lantern on the JLA when I was helping edit that book, and I was very, very fond of that character.
All right. That's it for my questions. I'm going to pass it back to our host here.
Well, I'm glad that she answered all our questions, Tony. And seeing that you just mentioned Kyle being, you know, your JLA pick, would that mean he's your favorite Green Lantern, or do you have a favorite?
This sounds weird, but I swear I don't have a favorite Green Lantern. There's kind of aspects to each one of them that I like. I like Guy a lot. You know, I was reading Justice League International as it first came out, and that, you know, remains one of my favorite, you know, experiences as a reader. And, you know, they've all got their stuff. I tend to really like oddball ones. Kilowog, I love, ever since that Joe Staton Green Lantern Corps run. He's just too cool. But the list goes on.
Rock Lava well. Fan.
All right, well, wait. Who's your least favorite? Can you tell us that?
Oh, boy. That's tough.
You say Chasselon. Everybody says Chasselon.
No, wait, he's cool.
No,
I
he's
like him. Although I would call him Chasselon.
Chasselon.
I swear to God, I call him Chasselon. I can't do anything right.
We're just going to invite you on for another podcast where all we're going to do is pronounce stuff, and you just tell us if we're right or wrong.
We'll be here all night if we do that, though. Yeah, I don't know who my least favorite one was.
Jack Chance? Also, Jack Chance is a popular hatred.
Nope. I don't have a feeling for him either way, though. No. Can't think of one that I didn't like.
Well, I'm glad you answered those. Even though you have no clear favorite or clear hatred or disdain for one, you know what? At least you enjoy the entire franchise as a whole.
It's a concept that so naturally lends itself to all these different ways of expressing it. All these different types of characters. That's what's so cool to me. So when you see one of those, crazy Phil Jimenez, posters with a zillion characters, all of them are Green Lanterns. They all look different. That's what I like about Green Lantern. It's deep. There's a deep bench there. There's all kinds of guys, and that just, it's the potential for so many different kinds of stories. That's just fun.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way about it, and I'm glad you're the Green Lantern Corps is in capable hands with you.
Thank you very much. This has been fun,
and
guys.
Yeah, I'm glad we had you tonight. So you know what? If you ever feel like coming back, I welcome it.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot, guys.
Have a good night.
All right, take care.
Be sure to visit thegreenlanterncorps.com, where you can find the latest news, reviews, interviews on all things Green Lantern. While you're there, check out the message boards and interact with us and other fans. Be sure to send us any hate or love mail at contact@glspotlight.com. You can also find our YouTube channels at youtube.com/glspotlight, youtube.com/neildevilbane, and youtube.com/ssjkuhan. Not to mention, you can also follow half of the cast via Twitter at twitter.com/glspotlight, twitter.com/kuhan, and twitter.com/consciousb. Also, check out Ryan's blog at www.glspotlight.com.
This magic green, it is the color green, it can do anything. Sometimes it speaks to me, it says, how, what have you done with your life? People around you keep dying. Use your will to right the wrong, and don't make us wait.
Or has that changed due to this?
Did
we lose him?
Wow.
Oh,
all your fault, Colt.
What's my fault?
Andrew.
Why'd you ask him about Rebels?
I guess we gotta call him back up.
He probably just got stabbed for telling us, he knew he was writing Green Lantern.
Jonathan was right behind him the entire time. He was in the living room.
DC didn't just show up.
Oh,
DC didn't.
Hello?
Hey, Tony. Sorry. I guess we lost you there for a second.
Yeah. It just said call failed on my, my iPhone. It must be that map thing.
Damn AT&T network. I suffer from the same thing.
I'm sure it wasn't anything we said. I mean, take it back.
All right. So where were we?
Carlton, continue your question.